WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. More Los Angelinos are returning to find homes and neighborhoods wiped out from some of the most destructive wildfires in California history. Avanti Persona grew up in the Palisades.
My elementary school is gone. My high school is half gone. Most of my friends have lost their homes.
Death toll up to at least 24, and the flames are still raging. L.A. County Fire Chief Anthony Marone.
Elevated critical fire weather conditions will continue through Wednesday.
KCBS reporter Matt Bigler is in Malibu.
With the return of Santa Ana winds this week, residents in mandatory evacuation zones won't be able to return home until at least Thursday. LA City Councilmember Tracy Park says fire and utility crews need to be able to operate freely in the burn zones,
so they can stabilize the conditions on the ground.
Over 150,000 people in Los Angeles County have been evacuated. For those that didn't suffer any burn damage, State Assemblymember Jackie Irwin says it's not clear yet if the government will pay their housing costs.
We still do not have confirmation that there might be some reimbursement from FEMA.
The Senate begins confirmation hearings tomorrow for former President, President-elect Trump's cabinet picks. Republican John Barrasso tells CBS's Face the Nation.
President Trump said the number one goal for the Senate needs to be to get his team in place.
Among them, Pete Hegseth for Defense Secretary, Democratic Senator Mark Kelly on Face the Nation.
He just does not seem to have the qualifications.
Denmark is extending an invitation to President-elect Trump to discuss his concerns about security interests in the Arctic and his vow to extend U.S. frontiers to Greenland, a Danish territory. Speaking in Israel today, the foreign minister said his country is ready to ensure, quote, legitimate American interests. A new push is on to get a ceasefire deal in Gaza. Correspondent Cammie McCormick reports.
The White House has been focused on getting a deal, and President Biden spoke with Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu yesterday. President-elect Trump has also been pushing for an agreement before he takes office. Now an official close to the talks says there is potential for real progress. They're waiting for Hamas approval. Hamas has been blamed for many failed efforts in the past. The coming days are seen as critical to ending the fighting.
The maiden voyage of Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin rocket was a no-go at Cape Canaveral early this morning.
We are standing down today's launch attempt to troubleshoot a vehicle subsystem issue.
The countdown clock was reset repeatedly before blastoff of the New Glenn was officially scrubbed. No word on when they'll try again. S&P futures down 47. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com.
The Packers season ends in Philly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers losing to the Eagles 22-10 in the first round of the playoffs. Several Packers players on offense had to leave the game with injuries. Left guard Elgton Jenkins' arm went numb with a stinger. Romeo Doubs with another concussion. Center Josh Myers with a possible fractured leg. And what happened to receiver Jaden Reed?
I dislocated my shoulder. So I tried to go back in, but after I realized I physically couldn't, the trainers did a great job of taking me to go get x-ray and everything.
So the Eagles advance, and they'll play the winner of tonight's game between the Vikings and the Rams. I spoke to Eagles running back Saquon Barkley.
That's football, man. They're a good team. Got credit to them. They did some good things. They're a well-coached team. Got a lot of great players. But at the end of the day, stats don't matter. Only stats that matter is that win column.
NBA, the Bucks' three-game winning streak snapped with a 140-106 loss to the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Audrey Hepburn is considered one of the greatest movie stars of all time. Ariana Grande is just getting started with her big screen career comparatively, but there are rumors that she might play the iconic classic Hollywood Oscar winner in an upcoming biopic. Nothing has been confirmed, but it sounds like the Wicked actress is really interested in such a role, telling Access Hollywood that she has always been enamored with old Hollywood. Speaking of Grande, Wicked was just released on video on demand, and it's no surprise that one of the biggest movies of 2024 is seeing sales through the roof. The film is now available to stream in the U.S. and Canada. Wicked pulled in $26 million on its first day of digital release, according to Variety, and ended up with $70 million after its first week. The nice thing about watching Wicked at home is you will not have strangers standing up and singing along. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It's cold out there this morning with a wind chill hovering 20 to 25 below, and we're going to keep that wind chill well below zero all day today. Partly cloudy, 4 above this afternoon, back down to 5 below tonight. Tomorrow, sunshine, 10 above. We're back to the mid-20s by Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. The temperature now is zero.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, our favorite Delano Democrat Harvey K will join us. Are Republicans really planning $5 trillion in spending offsets to Medicare and the ACA to fund tax cuts for the rich? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Good morning, welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, and brought to you by Courier Newsroom, carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06 on this Monday morning, January 13th, 2025. The unofficial first day of winter, sports winter, they call it here in Wisconsin, after the Packer loss in the playoffs. But as Tony points out on YouTube, the Snow Queen delivered this weekend. Thank you, Brittany.
Yeah, thanks, Brittany.
You're welcome.
She gets all the thank yous, all the flavors of thank yous. Absolutely. You enjoyed it, though. You enjoyed having some snow and some cooler weather.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, and my gosh, there's like 6 inches to 8 inches that was recorded up in towards Bayfield County. So okay. The South Shore really getting hit, which is awesome news.
All right. Let's see. Selena Heller's here. Greg Bach here as well. And Rob from Tigerton, who says, good morning. It's cloudy and 2 degrees with a wind chill of 17 below. Winds are out of the west at 15. Roads in western Shawnee County range from slippery spots and stretches on Highway 29 and 45 to ice-covered on the county and town roads. He says he's been up plowing and salting since 2:30 a.m. on Sunday.
Ugh.
Plowed in the morning, salted in the afternoon. The Eagles game at his sister Debbie's house. Burned out from a Packer loss. Defense played well, but the offense was out of sync and hurt. He said Tigerton got an inch of snow, but the freezing rain cut things down from the expected 2 to 4 inches. And he also heard Carly Simon before and wants to get on the record that his favorite Carly Simon song is Oh Jesse.
Yeah. Nice.
I'm sorry, Rob, that answer's incorrect.
I feel like we should I wanna call this like it's just a mini segment called the Tigerton Report.
It is basically, yes. Yeah. Yep. Look, if Tigerton doesn't have a newspaper, then this is essentially it, and we are proud to provide full that
report.
Service. Yep, that's right. So yeah, we did get the snow. Now we've got this bone-chilling cold. How long does this stick around?
Oh, this is definitely going to be here all day today, and lingering into tomorrow as well before we start to see any sort of warm up. So right now, it is feeling double digits below zero into the western half of the state. About single digits below zero into the eastern half. And of course, that's going to be our highs. What you're feeling right now is what it's going to feel like all day. Actual high temperatures will climb to the single digits to low teens, but with the winds out of the west gusting up to 30 miles per hour throughout the afternoon, we're all going to be feeling sub-zero all day long. So bundle up and try to get some sunshine because it is going to be sunny through the day today. We'll see some flurries flying around by early tomorrow morning, but the cold still has a grip on us tomorrow. Highs don't change up until Wednesday, and a nice warm-up does hit us on Thursday and Friday, where temperatures are going to be nearing 40 So a roller coaster.
40. See, now I've got a friend who is extremely happy about this cold weather. Probably less so about the coming 40s because he's getting new lake stairs and he's on a high bank, kind of like me.
Yeah.
And so if the company that's doing it, it's like, well, when we're going to take down your old steps. And if you got 15 inches of ice, we can just come out there and load up the material and leave. Whereas if we got to haul it all up the hill, you know, it's going to cost you extra. So he's been out here rooting for 15 inches of ice. We all have our goals. His goal is 15 inches of ice.
I like how you're sitting here telling me the woes of a guy who has lake living. Like, oh no, your lake stairs might not.
It's his project, not ours. You know.
So what's good? Have you seen the pictures out of Eagle River of the ice castle? They
yes,
get to have an
gorgeous
ice castle this what? Year because yes. it's cold. Yes. It's beautiful. It is.
Greg right away is going to. Yeah, I see it pop up on Facebook all the time.
It's cool.
Isn't it cool?
It's
the volunteer fire department and just volunteers put that together in 5 days.
I'm kind of surprised Brittany's not broadcasting from there. You know, the ice queen in the ice castle. You know,
this I'm surprised. She hasn't moved in. Like she is.
I might be asking how much rent will be for tomorrow.
This is my domain.
Rob can help you because he writes in from Tigerton on Facebook. Thank you, Snow Queen, to make money the last few days. So there you
You're
go.
Welcome,
Brittany. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, guys. You too.
All right. Remember, you can sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. Christina Laurie puts it together and has the positive spin on the Packers season. Things didn't go well with the playoff game yesterday, but there were plenty of pluses throughout the course of the season and reasons to be optimistic for the future. We will be hearing in our second half hour from Dane County Judge Susan Crawford. She's a candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court. She will be running on April 1st. Against Brad Schimmel, who is Scott Walker's old attorney general from Walker's second term in office. And Schimmel is running an overtly partisan campaign, and Judge Crawford has certainly noticed and is going to tell us more about that, I'm sure, in the coming moments. But before we get to Judge Crawford, we're going to hear from former Governor Marty Schreiber, who served as a governor in the late 70s. Selena Heller's here and had a chance to talk with the former governor about his memories of Jimmy Carter for his state funeral that was held last week. Selena, it sounds like it was a really nice conversation.
Oh my gosh, it was my favorite thing of the week.
All right.
He was just a lovely person to talk to. He was driving in a car and we chatted for quite a while. And he travels all over the state now. He has a book out. So that's what he's going out and about talking about that. And for him, Jimmy Carter was quite an inspiration. And, you know, he lived long, of course, to do all these human service projects. And that's kind of the inspiration for Marty, too.
Yeah, absolutely. So you talked to him about a couple of different things. And one of them is Martin Schreiber talking about his inspiration. Let's give a listen.
He really made an impact on me as far as, you know, what's right with the people and also making sure you're not there. You're not there to further your term in office. You're there to make decisions that are going to help make this country and our people in a better situation. And so I think he just reinforced that in my mind about my public service.
And that's the thing. Again, you hear this theme a lot, public service and actually serving others. And he noted that the former president did that not just in office, but after he was in office.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he talked about that, all of his projects and how you can do good no matter who you are. And so he was talking to me about that a little bit. So that's, you know, here's Marty talking about that.
So what he proved is that you don't necessarily have to be president of the United States of America in order to make a difference. And, you know, he worked in trying to have people understand the importance of clean water in a very, you know, poor, undeveloped countries. He worked to try and foster, you know, the democratic elections and so forth. And so, you know, people who say they're not president, I can't do anything, and that's baloney. And so it's just baloney because there's so many things a person can do.
Oh, and we've talked about that plenty of times, increasing people's civic engagement. You don't have to have a lot of money, not even necessarily a lot of time, just being selfless for a little bit.
Cool, right. And he also talked about, he had several encounters with Jimmy Carter coming to Wisconsin or him going to the White House. And one of the funny stories he talks about is Jimmy Carter asked his wife Elaine to dance with him at a national governor's convention. And so they had this beautiful dance. But he also talked about, the love affair of him and Rosalind, Jimmy Carter and Rosalind, and just how the family, he overheard Jimmy's Carter's mom,
Miss Lillian,
talking to someone. Yes. and they said, "Aren't you so proud of your son?" And she said, "I have two sons and I'm proud of them both," or something like that. And yes. He talked about that and how, just the love and the pride, was for everyone, not just your son who's a president. And, mm-hmm. and he just beamed so much of the family, and it was really a great conversation.
Yeah. I mentioned the other day, I'd entirely forgotten about Miss Lillian and what a character she was during the administration. It was just one of those historical coincidences that Carter was the 39th president. Marty Schreiber was Wisconsin's 39th governor for mm-hmm. the 2 years that he served, from 1977 to 1979. And so I guess, are we going to get a chance to visit with him tomorrow as well?
Yes, he's coming on the show tomorrow morning, and he'll talk about more. Now his kind of, like I mentioned, his focus is on Alzheimer's caregivers. He's a crusader for those with dementia and the caregivers. And because his wife Elaine had Alzheimer's, and his book is called My Two Elaines: Learning, Coping, and Surviving as an Alzheimer's Caregiver. And so it tells of the story of him seeing Elaine from, they met in high school. They're high school sweethearts, to the progression of her having Alzheimer's and not recognizing him eventually. So he travels all over the state talking about those topics. And so that's what we will talk about tomorrow.
And I believe he's 85 years old, roughly. And
he is 85.
And still, he's still cracking jokes.
Characters. I was laughing the whole time. He was so, of course, he's got wonderful insight. I mean, he goes from talking about being in the back seat of the car, taking Jimmy Carter to the airport and saying, "Why are you running for president? What's your reason?" And that's what he says. He always asks that of a candidate, because that's what, you have to have a reason. And anybody with a good reason is probably going to win. He says, because they're passionate. So anybody who's passionate about what they want to do, that's what he says. That's what he recognized in Jimmy Carter. And then he goes from talking about being in the back seat with Jimmy Carter to joking with me. It was a great conversation. I really enjoyed it. It's lovely.
I got to talk to him a couple of times as a legislator and a candidate for Congress. And again, just, you get some of the best conversations with folks who have served. They no longer have to hold back in what they think about this or that. And that's sometimes the best advice, is somebody that does not have to couch their advice at all. Marty Schreiber is definitely one for that. All right. Selene's going to stick around for just a minute. We're going to ask her about the conversation she had last week with Jessica Walks from the Chippewa Valley, and running away from the horrible wildfires in California. And before that, she's lived in Florida and had to put up with hurricanes. Really kind of puts our below zero temperatures in perspective, doesn't it? So stick around. We'll have more of that from Selena coming up on Up North News Radio. And then in our second half hour, Judge Susan Crawford from Dane County, a candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court, will visit with us. And we'll find out from Jane Mattenair what's coming up on Mattenair on Air as well. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Monday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, home of the Chad Holmes Show. At Lakeland Care, we are passionate about creating a world we all want to live in. Lakeland Care supports frail elders and adults with disabilities through Wisconsin's Family Care Program. As a Lakeland Care member, you'll benefit from a dedicated care team that assists you in managing your health and daily activities. Our personalized support aims to improve your quality of life and help you maintain your independence. To find out if you qualify, contact your county's Aging and Disability Resource Center. To learn more about Lakeland Care, visit lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
Hey there.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Freezing your credit sounds drastic, but it's not. In fact, freezing your credit is one of the best ways you can protect yourself from identity theft. Freezing your credit doesn't stop your credit score from going up or down. It's just a way to make sure that nobody can open an account in your name, not even you, without removing your freeze first. So to freeze your credit, you just contact each of the three major credit bureaus and you request a credit freeze. Just search up the term credit freeze and you'll find the phone numbers and websites where you can get it all done. And don't worry, you can always unfreeze your credit when you need to apply for new credit, like a loan or something, by contacting each bureau again. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org or text money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Johnny and June at the Folsom Prison album. That was part of our history lesson this morning, as it is every morning at 6:50, Monday through Friday. Selena Heller is with us right now. I have to go severely off topic with you guys first, though. Are you familiar with this? I hold this up for them to see. This thing called a mocha pot. It's like a teeny tiny coffee pot, but not quite a percolator, because it's got a little, it sits on top of a little tank of water. You put the water in there. Mm-hmm. The coffee goes in a basket in the middle, and then it kind of percolates through it.
Yeah.
And I bring this up because last Labor Day weekend, we were visiting friends in Canada, one of whom is originally from England, and he had one of these contraptions. You put it on your stovetop. And he says, you know, this will make the best espresso you've ever had. And he was right. It was super good. So I asked for this for a Christmas present. Got it as a Christmas present. Finally used it for the first time yesterday. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not regularly like an espresso drinker. I prefer just a big old coffee mug like today's, which says I am silently correcting your grammar on the coffee mug.
Perfect.
But this unique little mocha pot was, it gives you some stuff that's really rich and dark. It'll put hair on your chest, as my grandpa used to say.
Can I see that mug real quick again?
Let me see
some of them. Yeah, there's no period at the end of that sentence. So.
Oh, jeez.
None. That coffee mug is inherently false.
Hey, it's ironic. My coffee mug is ironic. Okay?
Don't you think?
I was going to say that, but I stopped. Greg,
there you go. Selena Heller joins us. Had a story late last week about the California wildfires, and talking to Jessica Walks, and we played some sound from her the other day. But I just wanted to get your impressions of the conversation for, you know, like so many people, hundreds of thousands of people who've had to get out of harm's way in that area. And you know, Jess always strikes me as a very measured, you know, she's very solid. There's nothing flighty about her.
Right.
But even with these wildfires, I mean, she just was like, well, this is here. This is what you got to do. You know, you got to get out of the way.
We're here. We have to leave, and we live here, and that's what it happens. And you just have to deal with whatever comes, and that's pretty much what it was. And also, I spoke to a guy named Billy Bowers, and he is also from Eau Claire, and he lives there too. And so it was just kind of much the same. Like they went there. Like Billy went, and he works in the TV and movie industry at a predominant company there. And Jessica went, and she is a singer, songwriter, producer, and that she's following her dreams. And so that's where, you know, you follow the arts, and that's why they're there. And so that's why they live there, and they love it. And it was very difficult for them to see all of these areas that they love burning to the ground. And that was kind of the main point in hearing that they're there because they love it, but it was very difficult to see the places that they know and love are gone.
Well, especially for Jessica, who has also spent time in Florida, which starts, you know, at some point, does she look at the hurricanes and the wildfires and does she go, is the problem me?
they're following me. I'm causing, no, of course. No, she was in Helene and Hurricane Helene because she lives in Florida, and she lived in California, moved to Florida during the pandemic, and then endured hurricanes. And then she was moving back to California. So she was there trying to find a place to live. And so
this is all to say that her dad, Dana Walks, the attorney up here in Eau Claire, former assembly rep, Dana, we love you, but just can't come back here. We're just saying
that we don't want things
that would just not necessarily work for us. Yeah. What are we working on this week? Which is always a loaded question because we have our story meeting, you know, around 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if you have anything in the hopper already or if we're going to start laying out this week's agenda.
Well, one of the things I think I'm going to do coming up is some winter activities, and you'll see that coming. So what's fun to do in Wisconsin? So we went tubing over the weekend at a ski hill. So in Clark County, yep, you'll hear more of that. Injuries here.
Good, in this house. Good. God, I used to tube and sled like that all the time, and I think my bones would just turn to dust at the first impact now if that were to happen.
I feel like that. I'm like, oh, I hope this is going to be okay.
I love it.
A bad outcome.
Let's see. On the coffee pot note, Alicia says, my son uses one of those. He loves his espresso from that. Tony writes in from Ashland. On the coffee cup note, how did Greg wake up today? Does that mean you don't have your coffee mug to show us?
Who said I'm awake? Huh? Who said I'm awake, Tony? I'm asleep. No, I
in other words, he didn't wake up looking, what does it normally say?
Sexy? I think it was sexy.
Sexy. So.
Yeah. Oh. Coffee. I've been trying to drink a little less coffee. I was starting to get a little too much and some of the headaches were coming back.
Talking too fast by the time you and Jane exactly. have done at noon.
Exactly. So I've been sticking to water to keep myself hydrated and a cup of coffee here and there. So
okay, yeah, I've cut out is the soda, the pop. Usually have
really
after I had a very regular routine of two cups of coffee in the morning, and I'd eventually have a Coke Zero at some other point.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've cut that out and
no Coke now.
Have felt better and
it makes a difference,
weird.
Buddy.
I know. And now I'm gonna go back to trying this thing called exercise.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to check out a book from the library to see what it is, but I'm gonna try to reacquaint myself with that. Tony writes in on YouTube, what's too much coffee?
You know, I don't drink coffee, so I've never even
you don't?
No.
I didn't start drinking coffee until my late 30s. I
didn't start to my late 40s.
Yeah.
We were very much a, you know, Diet Coke or, you know, before that Mountain Dew, you know.
When you wake up in the morning, we're like, I got my morning Diet Coke.
Yeah. That's what we did.
And I would bring milk to work at 2:30 in the morning. milk.
Yep. Okay.
That's
well, on that note, folks, goodbye.
Bye, time for me to go.
Oh, Selena, you just could not be more All-American if you tried. That's funny. Well, thank you for all of that. Thanks for sitting in. And we will. Oh, Tony wants one more jab in here. That thing Dr. Lyerly talks about, exercise. And he I like how he, I think he misspelled that on purpose. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how much better I feel next week when Kristen's here. Or if I say, oh no, I'm done. I gave it the old college try. Thanks, Selena. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. When we come back, we'll be talking with Dane County Judge Susan Crawford, candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court. Next, you're up north.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Well, a new calendar year may be bringing a new administration to the White House, but one problem remains. We still don't have a farm bill. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden says that's a priority for him. He serves Wisconsin's 3rd District. He's also on the House Agriculture Committee. He said aside from the farm bill, the other item that agriculture is looking for, some resolution in their employee work situation, and Van Orden believes a revised H-2A program may help.
I'm on the Agriculture Labor Working Group. We have 23 separate bipartisan recommendations, and most of them are focused on the H-2A program, streamlining that so that our farmers can have year-round, consistent, skilled, and I consider a herd manager is not unskilled labor. Let's be real clear about that. And someone who's working on diesel engines is not unskilled labor. I consider it skilled. We've got to work on these definitions. But we need to streamline this program because you can't have a cow milking seasonally, can you?
That's Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden. Aside from the farm bill and making sure that farms and agribusiness have reliable employee sources, he said he's also making it a priority to invest in domestically produced diesel fuel. He's calling for a reversal of the Biden administration's decision to ban offshore drilling of oil and gas.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at WISoybean.org.
Did you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe this spring with Heads Up Seed Treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at headsupst.com.
And today is the beginning of the Wisconsin Agribusiness Classic, a gathering of our cooperatives and farm service providers from across the state. New location for that event this year. They're gathering together at the Kalahari Resort in Wisconsin Dells. As a matter of fact, the Midwest Farm Report team will be there. That's just a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. More available at MidwestFarmReport.com. Don't forget to sign up for our e-newsletter. I'm Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It's cold out there this morning with a wind chill hovering 20 to 25 below, and we're going to keep that wind chill well below zero all day today. Partly cloudy, 4 above this afternoon, back down to 5 below tonight. Tomorrow, sunshine, 10 above. We're back to the mid-20s by Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 2 below zero.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Matt and Air on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt and Air on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Why should you care that the North Carolina Supreme Court just stopped the election and seating of a liberal justice to the North Carolina Supreme Court? We discuss next at 2 p.m.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Back on Up North News Radio at 7:34 on this Monday morning. Happy to be joined by Judge Susan Crawford of Dane County, candidate for a soon-to-be open seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Judge Crawford, good morning. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show, Pat.
Yeah, it's nice to have you back. We spoke in September, which, again, people were really not thinking about the Supreme Court race yet, but clearly, both you and your opponent still had to raise funds, still build name ID and everything. So from September till now, you probably feel a lot better known and probably a lot better scrutinized.
Yeah, you know, we have been getting out all over the state in the last 6 months and talking to a lot of voters and getting people energized about this race, making sure that people know who I am and why I'm in the race and what I'm bringing to it. And I think that we are feeling really good about where we are right now. Have done a great job in getting the resources that we need to run the campaign that we've got to run here. And so, yeah, I'm feeling pretty confident.
Well, we talked about this in September, that you were well aware that you were probably going to blow the barn doors off of any previous records for fundraising for a state Supreme Court race. It does not appear to have daunted you too much based on your latest numbers. They seem pretty impressive.
Right. We, I think, have set a record, and I have a great campaign team. You know, as a judge, I am not the one who is making those asks. I'm not asking anybody to make a contribution because the judicial code does not allow that, and I'm really scrupulous in following that rule. But I have a great campaign team who is making sure that we've got the resources that we need to run this race and help voters to understand that I will be a fair, impartial justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, that I'll be protecting their rights and looking out for them.
You know, it was only a week ago that we were marking the fourth anniversary of the January 6th insurrection. We had Ruth Conniff from the Wisconsin Examiner on last week, Thursday, to talk about her editorial column, raising eyebrows about what former Attorney General and Waukesha County Judge Brad Schimel had to say about the January 6th defendants and not getting a fair shake in court in D.C., even though that's what typically happens. You get, tried in the places where alleged crimes are being convicted. I wondered if comments like that surprise you about, whether people accused of a violent insurrection deserve some kind of special treatment when it comes to picking the jurisdiction of their court.
Well, unfortunately, I wasn't surprised to hear Judge Schimel making those kinds of comments. It really is par for the course for him. He's running a really extreme partisan campaign. And I think that he had a target audience for those comments that he was trying to reach. It is a little bit surprising, I would say, for a former attorney general and former district attorney, as he is, to be defending violent people who stormed our nation's capital and attacked law enforcement officers in the capital. I think it sends a strong message to the voters about what Judge Schimel stands for. And, you know, it's a shame, really, that we have a sitting judge in the state of Wisconsin that would be making those kinds of attacks, not just against law enforcement officers, but also against the jury system, which is the cornerstone of the American system of justice. And in my courtroom, you know, we don't have any litmus test for serving on a jury. And we get jurors from across the political spectrum. My experience is that they all do their jobs as jurors. They listen to the evidence, they apply the law, and they work together to arrive at a fair verdict in every case. And I always thank every juror who sits on a jury in my courtroom.
It just seems to echo, you know, what you would call the Trumpist rhetoric of, you know, attacking the courts as the president-elect did about being tried in New York, even though that, again, is where the trial would normally be held. Another part of that, you know, Trumpian rhetoric is right on Judge Schimmel's campaign page with the line from opening the border to releasing criminals on our streets. Rogue judges across the nation are putting their radical agenda above the law. Brad Schimmel will take back the Wisconsin Supreme Court and end the madness. Can you give me your impression when you hear a phrase like rogue judges being used when, you know, your colleagues are out there trying to apply the law as fairly as possible?
Yeah, I don't know any of those rogue justices or judges in Wisconsin. All the judges that I know work really hard to make sure they're doing justice in their courtrooms every day. They're trying to get the facts right and apply the law and get to a fair result. That certainly is what I do in my courtroom every day. And that, I think, is what voters expect judges and the justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court to do. I think that kind of rhetoric is another example of Brad Schimmel's extreme partisanship. And, you know, he is running to bring a partisan agenda to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. He is not running to be a fair and impartial judge. And that's really the difference between the two of us.
And yet, if the law and order themes that we often hear in Supreme Court races and races for attorney general, if that's out there, what will not be at issue here is your experience on that, because before you were working in the Doyle administration, before you were working in private practice, you were working as a criminal prosecutor. So you no doubt have already had to tell people that you know a thing or two about prosecuting felony cases.
Absolutely. I started out my legal career in Wisconsin at the Wisconsin Department of Justice. I was a prosecutor, both in the trial court. So I prosecuted white collar crime and abuses against vulnerable people living in nursing homes. And then I also prosecuted felony cases in front of our Wisconsin Supreme Court. I first argued a case in front of the Wisconsin Supreme Court back in 1998, making sure that our communities were kept safe and that folks who had harmed their community or harmed a crime victim were, you know, kept in prison, that they were not able to overturn their convictions on a legal technicality, and that we were all kept safe. So that is an important part of my career, a work that I'm really proud of, and an important part of my record.
You also then, not long after that, served in the Wisconsin Department of Corrections, chief of staff to the secretary. And so what extra attributes do you think that brings as a potential Supreme Court justice who has really seen how the corrections department operates, how the prisons operate throughout the entire state?
Right. You know, I've experienced and participated in our criminal justice system from a number of different angles or sides at this point, both as a prosecutor, then when I was helping lead the Wisconsin Department of Corrections, making sure that our communities were safe, particularly as offenders were being released from prison, making sure that they were being supervised appropriately. Part of that is also making sure that services are available to them. So if somebody's got a substance abuse problem that's driving their criminal behavior, to make sure that they have access to treatment resources when they're coming back into the community. Because just about everybody who goes into the prison system is going to come out again. And we were really focused on that reentry process to make sure that we were doing everything that we could to protect public safety for those folks coming out. And then, of course, as a judge, I've presided over criminal cases. I've not hesitated to send someone to prison or jail when that's what's necessary to protect public safety. And sometimes that's what you got to do. And I've always been willing to do that and put public safety at the forefront as I've made decisions.
When you worked for the Department of Natural Resources and headed up the Division of Enforcement, this, by and large, as you told me in September, involves you know, some serious violations of environmental law. It's about the water, the air, other natural resources. And yet I sense, and this is the part that I fear will sound flippant, I wonder about a campaign where we're suddenly going to hear that Judge Crawford did more to protect the species of butterfly than, you know, allowing us to open an iron ore mine or something. I wonder if in your time at the Department of Natural Resources working on environmental law, are we going to hear things from the Schimmel campaign or outside interests that they're trying to nitpick whatever they can find about your record?
Right. Well, you know, I don't think they're going to find any cases where we were prosecuting people for not protecting butterflies at that time. But, you know, natural resources protection is important. I'll just say that Wisconsin is blessed with abundant and beautiful natural resources that deserve protection. And the legislature has passed laws to protect our clean air and water and our natural resources. And, you know, the executive branch has a responsibility for enforcing those laws. I think what we've seen so far from Judge Schimmel's campaign is that when they can't find something, they'll make it up, unfortunately. They are pretty fast and loose with the facts. And I would not be surprised if they attacked my record on environmental enforcement, not based on something that we actually did to enforce the laws at that time, but something that is just made up. And I'd like to offer also the contrast that when Brad Schimmel was the attorney general, he was allowing polluters, big global companies like 3M, who were violating air pollution laws, not having the proper controls on their factories. He was letting them off with less than a slap on the wrist, saying that as long as they upgraded their controls, that they wouldn't even have to pay a fine. And what that means is that polluters just got away with it. Big corporations pollute, they know exactly what they're supposed to do, and they do less than that to increase their bottom lines, to increase their profits. So unfortunately, under Brad Schimmel as Attorney General, polluters got away with it. And I'm afraid that is the record that he brings to the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Yes, it was part of leading a lawsuit that opposed EPA limits on carbon emissions. And I think another issue that's liable to come up is the way that he led a 20-state lawsuit, I believe it was, looking to overturn the Affordable Care Act. And he noted that as much in his defeat back in 2018, that he blamed part of his loss on how people felt about having pre-existing conditions covered. And in my mind, that comes back to what you've talked about earlier in terms of your own personal values about healthcare decisions, about the right to vote, about democracy, that really you seem to be focused more on protecting or expanding rights rather than looking for ways to limit people's choices about their health or their livelihood.
Right. You know, Pat, I have worked hard throughout my career to protect the rights of Wisconsinites under our laws and under our Constitution. I do that as a judge every day. I worked in both private practice as a lawyer and when I was working for the government as a lawyer to make sure that I was doing everything that I could to protect the rights of ordinary Wisconsinites. My opponent has exactly the opposite record. You referred to the lawsuit that he joined as attorney general that would have resulted in, if it had been successful, in tens of thousands of Wisconsinites losing access to their health care. He did the same thing when it came to reproductive health care rights for women. Has a long history of attacking and trying to take away access to reproductive health care for women. I, on the other hand, worked hard when I was in private practice to make sure that doctors who provide reproductive health care to women could continue to provide those services without having to be afraid of losing their medical licenses or even being prosecuted with felonies for providing health care to women. So I think that is a big point of contrast. And, you know, I view the law as a tool to protect people, to protect their rights. And that's the perspective I'm bringing to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And I will always use common sense, look at the purposes of the law, look at what it was intended to protect, and making sure that I am putting people at the forefront of my legal decisions and protecting them.
And before we forget, you did come into this race with four rather noteworthy endorsements. The entire current progressive majority, Justices Ann Walsh Bradley, who is departing this seat, Janet Protasiewicz, Rebecca Dallet, Jill Karofsky. Not a bad way to get a campaign launched, along with all the other support that has come since that time for Judge Susan Crawford, Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate. Judge, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Pat. Really, it was a pleasure.
We will wrap up today's show right after this. You're up north.
Old Falls Radio, WXCO.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
This message is sponsored by WISCaregiver.com. Now is the time to start a meaningful career as a caregiver. Make a real difference in people's lives. WISCaregiver.com gives you two great options for free. Train for the in-demand caregiver workforce as a CDCP, Certified Direct Care Professional, or become a CNA, Certified Nurse Aide. All training is free. Plus, you can earn a $500 bonus. Learn more. Visit WISCaregiver.com.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home.
The beginning of the year means a new session for the Wisconsin State Legislature. Members of the State Senate and State Assembly were sworn into office on Monday, January 6th. There are a lot of new faces in that group, with six new members in the State Senate and 31 new representatives in the State Assembly. While Republicans will remain in the majority, that majority is now the smallest it has been in more than a decade. The days of the GOP's supermajority are over. After last year's elections under new, fairer maps, we'll see if those smaller majorities lead to more compromise in a legislature that's been dominated by the right for nearly 15 years. Just a handful of seats make the difference now between a Republican and Democratic majority, and there are many more opportunities now to bring accountability to legislators, especially those in competitive districts. And in a healthy democracy, that's the way things should be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Or as Tony says from Ashland, Jane! Exclamation point. That's all that's really necessary. Jane Matinair is with us again, as always, striking the Old West photo pose right behind Mr. Bach. There we go. Perfect, perfect. To tell us what to
all right, watch it, lady. Watch it, watch
sorry,
it.
Sorry.
What to find on Matinair on Air, weekdays from 10 a.m. to noon.
And Greg, too.
And Greg, too. Should I have not put that in parentheses?
Whatever.
I'm sorry. Okay.
He's an integral part of the show, Pat. You know this.
Yes. Integral Greg. That's what we know him as. You, young lady, neglected to tell me during our visit last week that you were having a birthday during said week.
Yes.
Happy belated birthday.
Thank you so much. I'm at the age now, Pat, where it's like, if people forget, that works out fine for me. It's like, let's just pretend I'm as old as I was last year and everything is good.
You could, but no, you know, where's the party in that? So did you have any kind of festivities?
It was on a Thursday. My husband got me roses, which was lovely.
There. That's nice.
I'm going out to dinner with some girlfriends next Friday to celebrate.
Okay. Okay.
And that was about the extent of the festivities.
Excuse me, we had pastries here.
We did have pastries.
We had pastries.
Greg and Calvin sprung for my favorite Kringle, which was fantastic.
Ooh.
Yes.
Okay.
And so it was lovely. I am still alive.
It's true.
Yes. I mean, there is always that. But of course, I have to give the obligatory broadcasting joke of, I mean, you're at an age now where, you know, a lot of folks are, why are you still working at this age? To which you respond, I work in radio.
Well, there's that, because I really enjoy it, Pat.
Yeah.
You know, I've been in this business a shockingly long time, and I love civic media. I love the people here. I love our mission. It is different than any other place I've ever worked before, and I am just delighted to be here. I think
it's an awkward time for me to read this note from Sage. I will.
Gee, Jane, it's been great. Sorry, we got to cut you loose.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be typical radio too. It's like
I was going to say, you'd be no different than some of the folks at those TV stations recently around the state.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, no, I am overjoyed to be part of civic media.
How many stations have you worked at over the years?
I think this is my fifth. I haven't been fired as much as many others in radio.
That's a good way to put it.
Which, I don't know. I'm either I should shoot for that or I should be happy with where I am. So I think I was fired twice.
I was going to ask, did you ever have a firing that was handled especially poorly? Or were they more, are they rather civil affairs, or because some people, like, they get fired by Zoom, you know, and things like that nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
No, that hasn't happened. But I remember one in particular. It was the program director called me in and said, yeah, I need to talk to you. And I go in his office and the general manager is in there, which is never a good sign.
Yeah.
And they're like, have a seat. And I said, yeah, that's OK. I'll stand.
Yeah.
You can just tell me to my face, we'll get along just fine.
That happened to me once. It wasn't in radio, but I was in a job, and the president of the company said, Greg, can you come talk to me? I'm like, oh, I'm about to get fired. And I'm walked past the HR. HR isn't in their office. And I walk in, and it's the president, the CEO, and the HR guy. And I'm just I'm like, all right, here we go. And
the trifecta. Was there a bouncer?
I was
going to
say executioner.
I mean, they said they said, like, well, Greg, you know, we've been going through some hard. I go, you know what? Am I being let go? He goes, yeah. I'm like, let's just get to that.
Yeah.
I don't need a preamble.
Well, we shouldn't be dwelling on this, but you know, but I do know that there have been some rather colorful, you know, firings in the broadcast business overall.
Oh, there's no question. I worked with a man who had his cancer came back, and that's when they fired him. I heard a story about a guy who was in the hospital recovering from a heart attack, and management called him and fired him. So it's always been a big, warm, fuzzy business.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very much so. Yikes. What do you have coming up on the show this week?
Mr. Global Matt Randolph is going to be joining us Mondays with Mr. Global. He is an oil and gas industry expert, and Greg found this on YouTube. He has a whole introductory video that's about 36 minutes, 37 minutes, where he explains how he became Mr. Global, essentially. And you don't just get to say, hey, I'm an oil and gas expert. That is actually something that you have to apply for and be granted. So we're going to learn a little bit more about the real Mr. Global. We're going to talk about, of course, the incoming president promising to drill, baby, drill, and how that's going to solve all our problems. And Matt Randolph has told us before, that simply isn't going to happen. Oil companies and natural gas companies aren't going to drill if they're not going to make money.
Yeah, exactly. Tony asked on YouTube if any of us have seen Landman yet, this new one with Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah, yeah.
And he binged it over the weekend, which I don't know how related that is, but it's about oil drilling in Central Texas.
It's really, I mean, I want to ask him today, I just want to be like, how accurate is this to you? And it's a good show. We watched the first 8 episodes in a sitting, and we watched the last two are out now, so it's fun. It's a fun show. It's Taylor Sheridan. It's full of drama.
Exactly. Right. No doubt there. Jane Matinier, Catcher and Greg, weekdays, 10 a.m. to noon. Thank you both very much. Have a wonderful week.
You too, Pat. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks to our guests here, Judge Susan Crawford and to Selena Heller. Tomorrow on the program, we will have former Governor Martin Schreiber will be joining us live this time to talk about Alzheimer's and being a caregiver. And we'll also talk to Hans Breitenmoser, as we often do, a dairy farmer from the Merrill area. And he's bringing along a friend, Sheila Everhart, from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. He's going to talk about ag tourism. It is probably a much bigger deal than you might appreciate here in Wisconsin. So stick around for that tomorrow. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Follow us at upnorthnewswi.com. I'm Pat Wrightlaw. Have a wonderful Monday. We'll see you tomorrow morning here up north.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Donald Trump says he's going to drill, baby drill, when he gets into office. Matt Randolph, Mr. Global, explains what that means for us. And we go beyond the cheese in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name one year, and we went to the mall, and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The death toll in the Los Angeles wildfires is up to at least 24 as the region braces for more powerful winds to continue fanning the flames. LA County Fire Chief Anthony Marone.
These winds will keep the fire threat in all of Los Angeles County very high.
Confirmation battles brewing as the Senate gets set to take up President-elect Trump's cabinet picks. Republican John Barrasso tells CBS has faced the nation.
Chuck Schumer said he wants to make fireworks at the hearings. If that happens, we are going to work around the clock, through the night, through weekends, to make sure we get that cabinet confirmed.
Another push is on to get a ceasefire deal in Gaza. CBS's Cammie McCormick.
The next few days are seen as critical by negotiators who are reporting significant progress overnight. President Biden spoke with the Israeli Prime Minister yesterday, and the White House says this deal is based on the one Mr. Biden outlined last year.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.